WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken, Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have Twitch Prime, well, you can follow twitch.tv/WTRLive for free. All you have to do is click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for 1 month with your Twitch Prime for free. But if you don't have Twitch Prime or it's already used, well, that's okay. You can subscribe the regular way, you can follow the channel, or you can lurk in the chat and just hang out. That's completely fine. We're happy to have you any way you want to come listen to us. And if you're in a following mood and you want to follow twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward, well, that would be really cool because that's my channel, and I would love to get to affiliate if I ever stream again, which will probably be never because my internet is shit. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin'.
You know that Amazon Prime, when you link it to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime? That's a humdinger of a deal.
Don't be a dick.
What? It is. It's a humdinger of a deal.
Don't be a dick.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, happy July, everybody. We made it. We've made it to July of 2020. Go us. Woo.
By the way, By the way, you can follow at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Go ahead.
It is 4th of July weekend here in the States, so I hope everybody that celebrates it this weekend has a happy and safe 4th of July. Please don't do anything stupid. Please do not play with fireworks or blow your fingers off or any other appendage, because that would be very, very bad. Also, maintain all, you know, safety rules for other things that are happening here in the States. It's a fun time here, let me just tell you. You're not here in the U.S. and you're listening to the show. We're having some fun over here. Let me tell you, it's just awesome. I'm blinking profusely. You can't see me, but I'm blinking a lot.
What she is telling you all, we're having a humdinger of a time.
So, yeah. this show should be a lot more fun than it was last week. We are going to have Brent on later in the show to talk the first half of the Great American Bash. So we'll have that to look forward to in the back half of the show. We don't have a ton of news, but we do have some news to get into, and we've got some updates from last week to talk about as well. But it's not going to be as bad as what it was, where we have like two major like stories back to back.
We don't have an 11. We don't have an 11 bullet point segment planned out.
Right, like we did last week. Yeah, that was fun. Let me just tell you, like, if you saw our sheet last week, it was just a block of news, just a solid page of news. That's how much happened. So anyway, let's get into the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211. And we have to talk about the biggest story that broke today, happened right before we came on the air. I don't think anybody's really surprised by this, but it's news nonetheless. That WWE has finalized its purchase of Evolve Wrestling.
Shock, all surprise.
Right?
They've acquired the library. The Evolve promotion is out of business. This does not mean that WWN Live is out of business. Oh no, that is still alive with Shine and Full Impact Pro and ACW. They're still going to happen whenever. Whenever you can, they can legally be allowed to run a show in the state of Florida or wherever. Gabe Sapolsky is no longer with those promotions. He is out because he's working for World Wrestling Entertainment, and they got his promotion Evolve got bought out. Were the Young Bucks ever in Evolve?
I think maybe briefly.
It had to be very early in the Evolve, you know, thing. I don't know.
Maybe. It was definitely before WWE was involved with them, that's for sure.
Young Bucks Evolve. Something they don't do. Wait.
Shots fired?
What? It's a super kick party.
Such an asshole, I swear to God.
What? It's an easy... They worked for Dragon Gate USA and others, but I don't know if they actually got into Evolve, based on a quick Wikipedia search. Anyway, moving on.
So congratulations to Gabe and the entire Evolve team. Hopefully this is a continuing partnership that is fruitful. They've been in bed with WWE for quite a while, working with NXT hand in hand, but now they're officially part of the WWE family. So much love and respect to everybody there, and I hope it's a good partnership and a good relationship, because that's what you want.
Yeah.
In other big news, Renee Young made a big announcement. One, it looks like she's doing better. And two, she's written a cookbook.
Yeah, she's written the manuscript for her cookbook. Apparently has a playlist of music to go along with it. July 1st was the deadline to get it in to the publisher. So, yeah. She has high hopes for it. Like, there's 70-something different recipes in the book. She seems very excited about it.
Now she just needs a cooking show, and she'll be good.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Renee. I can't wait to see it, and hopefully try the recipes, because they're probably very good. And just a couple quick-ish updates from last week. This is not the best news to talk about, but we do have to follow up, because there are some follow-ups that occurred. First and foremost, Jamie Noble came out and said that he has tested positive for coronavirus, so I hope he feels better very, very quickly and very, very soon. And in terms of the sexual allegations that have happened, Michael Elgin has been officially released from Impact Wrestling following an investigation, I think, into his accusations. And then NXT UK has released Joel Allen, Chris Roberts, Travis Banks, Ligerio, due to their allegations post-investigation, and then Joe Coffey has been suspended. There is no word if that is indefinite or they're still looking into him. Nothing came out about Jordan Devlin or anybody else that was accused for NXT UK that's still with the company currently. So that's your update there. Oh God, I missed it. What did he send? Brent, we're on the air. What?
If you want to live in a world where you can see more of the Young Bucks and Zack Sabre Jr. on the WWE Network, WWE can now make their Evolve matches available to you as part of your subscription.
Oh God.
Apparently that's a thing.
That's a thing.
Okay.
And then last but certainly not least, everybody send your thoughts to the Bella family. Kathy Laurinaitis, who is Brie and Nicole's mother, had to have brain surgery this week. It was successful. She had to have a tumor removed from her brainstem.
It was a paralyzing tumor. That didn't sound good.
No, so hopefully everything went okay and she will fully recover and be fine. But please, if you get a quick second, just like send a quick thought or happy thought or something to her. so she can get all those good vibes going. And I think that does it for the news.
I mean,
it was that quick, guys. It was that quick. We have to make it up.
So we go to break.
The quickest news segment, and I think in the history of this show. So when we come back, we are going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we're going to be doing NXT, the Great American Bash. We're going to go grab the intern, and we're going to have some fun. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in me. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This Saturday night, CB Radio celebrates
Independence Day!
Join us for all of the fun and excitement that CB Radio can provide.
So grab your firecrackers and your romaine candles.
CB Radio celebrates the 4th of July, Saturday night midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now let's go tear this bitch up!
Did you know you can use support a creator code? Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop. That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree,
and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right.
And And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you'd like to subscribe to the channel, well, you can do so for free by clicking the Twitch Prime little button. Or the subscribe button, that's technically the Twitch Prime button down at the bottom of the screen. You can subscribe for free for 30 days, or you can subscribe and follow the channel the normal way if you like, or if you just want to hang out, that's fine too. And if you're interested in following channels, you can follow my channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward, same as the Twitters. And, well, we had a short news segment. I think we're going to have a short tweet of the week.
It might be a short tweet of the week. It might be a humdinger too.
You're really going to do that.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So I only have two.
Okay.
So first one. Do you know what 50 Cent did when he got hungry? This is from Miss K Bell, by the way.
What?
58. Please don't delete me.
That was a humdinger.
And vacant. I am the only wrestler in history to defeat a Flair and a Blanchard for the World Heavyweight Championship at Impact Wrestling.
Okay. Hashtag after sex. They say. Someone named Bree goes, I'll leave a positive Yelp. It's a trap. I'm not cleaning that. My hair look okay? Renee Young. Cool stuff. Just made corn on the cob. I realized I'm out of butter.
Oh.
And finally, Sean Ross Sapp tweets, Rue Riot is 0-11 since returning to WWE TV. Shane Helms goes, if she doesn't win soon, we're gonna rot. Never mind. I mean, you know.
You know, like you do.
Like you do.
Anyway, let's grab the man and let's do this.
I want to call him the man. He's the intern.
Fine, grab the intern. Let's do this.
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Kittens.
Your illegitimate kid has arrived.
So,
how was your day, son?
Good, mom.
So, awesome. So did you know that Shark?
You're not my real dad.
Did you know that Shark Week is a go?
Really?
Yeah, Shark Week is officially happening, and apparently they put out a promo about shark penises.
Now, my question is this: if Shark Week goes up against someone on the same night, are they only going to look at like? Certain statistics in order to say that they beat Shark Week?
I mean, yeah, because when you look when you break it all down, only certain parts of the thing matter.
You know, only, you know what? When it comes to advertisers, they only look at people who are 18 to 34 that live on the East Coast that names begin with the letters of the alphabet in the first half. So therefore, we won.
You feel better? You feel better?
So fucking stupid.
If you have any complaints, please tweet at Flames Forums. Thank you.
Thank you.
Or at Tony Khan.
we do not hear Doris tweeting Tony Khan.
Oh, but we still do it.
Did you tweet Tony Khan?
Yes, I did.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm doing this for equity's sake, okay? I found something that is blatantly sexist that I wanted to bring to his attention. I still haven't gotten any word back about it, though.
And that would be?
I'm not an insider like other people on this network, apparently. I'm not BFFs with Tony.
Yeah, Jobber doesn't want to get a reply. Anyway.
Wait, Jobber got a reply from Tony Khan?
Yeah.
He got a reply, and then he made it to wrestling websites.
He made the news.
Oh, good for Jobber. What did he tweet him?
He asked about the rankings and how they were going to be done after the introduction of the TNT title. And Tony Khan replied to it, and everyone jumped on that. And we're like, this is what Tony Khan said in response to a fan. And therefore, Chopper's name was, or Chopper's tweet was all over the place.
Awesome for Chopper.
Yeah. So his now official title is AEW, Tony Khan's BFF.
AEW.
Oh, okay, all right.
But we're not here to talk about AEW and Fighter Fest. No, that'll be on Saturday on TV Radio. We're here to talk about the other half of the Wednesday Night War.
The one that won in the ratings!
The great...
But not the demo.
But not the demo. We're here to talk about the great American B-ish.
Okay, so before we get started on the show, can we just talk about the set and how they, like, actually made an effort with the set? They had two Corvettes sitting there, a classic one and then a newer one, all decked out in red, white, and blue.
It was cool.
They had the banner on the
on both
just
sides.
To the side of the
they had two.
The ramp.
They had two. They had one white, one black.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. They made sure to make it feel different. Okay, this is the thing I didn't know, and this they may have happened before, but usually for like takeover events, the turnbuckles say NXT, right?
Mm-hmm.
These said WWE. It threw me off a little bit.
They're getting snazzy.
So I don't know. That's something I noticed.
Well, you know, it's because they had WWE main roster talent on there. You know, they brought in people from SmackDown and everything, so it wasn't just an NXT show. So you had to break out the WWE buckles.
Did you just figure out a logical answer to that question?
Yes, I did.
That's why he's an intern. He has all the answers.
I am very good in corporate speak and think right now.
So let's get into the great American B-ish. We did make predictions.
Yes, we did. I grabbed them. I have them on a spreadsheet, and I tracked them.
Okay, good.
I did my damn job.
We should probably make. Remember, we need to make predictions for the second half when we're done.
Yeah, all the five matches that they added last night. Four matches that they added last night, and the one that was carryover.
Yeah. So anyway. Opening contest was a number one contenders match for the women's championship. It featured Dakota Kai, Mia Yim, Tegan Nox,
woo!
And Candice LeRae. It was an elimination match.
I didn't know it was elimination when it first was announced. I thought it was just a four-way.
When it was first announced, it was just a four-way. Late last week or early this over the weekend, it was announced as an elimination match. So that was your confusion.
Which is no problem.
No. I was surprised who got eliminated first, though.
Yeah, but it furthers things, and it plays into what's going to happen next week.
Oh, it made sense, and logically looking at it, it's like the way they're pushing Candace at the moment, she's more of a sidekick rather than a featured talent, so it would make sense where she wouldn't be the one challenging for the championship just yet.
I love the way the match started, though, with both heels were just piecing out.
Like, yeah.
But Dakota playing it up with, like, no, I gotta stretch first. I have to stretch.
Calisthenics on the outside.
And she's running back and forth outside the ring, and you can just see Tegan like, bitch, get in here. Take your whooping.
Like, come here. Just come here.
Just do it. Come
on, I'll make it quick.
It is the goddamn ring. And Dakota's just like, nope, gotta stretch.
I'm fine right where I am. Thank you.
What I found interesting is Tegan's hesitation to attack Candace.
Well,
it's her buddy. They had the web series of Candace teaching Tegan how to cook.
One episode. It's not a series. It was one episode.
No, they've had like four or five. They broke it up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they filmed a couple of them. Back before Candace, you know, went lavender.
Before she went lavender. Okay.
But you can tell it's like, even though Candace has gone dark, her and Teague are still friends. Now, that didn't stop Tegan from from entering into the Mia Yim promo and delivering the pizza. But, you know, she's just helping a bud out. She's just a good friend all around, and she couldn't help it.
But Mia took out Candace to get her out of the match first.
Bye, Pixie.
Bye, Candace.
Leaving Tegan, Mia, and Dakota. Mia was on fire. Her dives were on point.
She was ready to go, man. Like, she was, like, super pumped and super excited for this.
One thing I did, like, I think it was Beth who called, like, Mia hit, like, she called the dragon suplex a full Nelson slam into a German suplex. Like, No, not.
She tried.
Not quite, but it was there.
She's trying. She's trying. You know, she's getting better week to week. That's great. Just she's not good at calling moves sometimes.
Sometimes. There was one interesting spot, though, with the code red that 1, 2...
and a half and three quarters, and then she finally kicked out.
It's more like she pushed her. I don't know if Tegan was late for the spot. I think Tegan may have been late, or Dakota forgot the kick. I don't know exactly, but they kind of had a, like,
There's a little bit of a moment.
A little bit of... as they called it on commentary, miscommunication. That was the explanation given. Miscommunication.
One, two. Where the hell are you?
as we've learned from Sean, missed it by that much.
Tegan.
Okay. Point, Lindsay.
Tegan came in, was able to hit the. I got a quick roll up, but it was escaped. She got eight defeat, allowing Dakota Kai to do a roll-up pin on Mia to eliminate her, and then it was down to Tegan and Dakota. And boy, that's so much fun.
I love that this match had the carryover of a lot of the different feuds that have been going on for the past 8 months. Because you had your main one, which was, you know, Tegan and Dakota.
Wait, they've been feuding? Why?
Because Dakota forgot that Tegan was her friend.
Dude, if I can accept Taker retiring, you have to accept this, okay?
Well, Tegan won, so fine. but the one thing I did have to say I liked was the fact that Raquel wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. That was nice, yeah.
Because otherwise, if Raquel was there, then it would just be this giant specter, and you're like, okay, there's going to be a shit ton of interference. But no, it was, you actually, you know, let Dakota wrestle. You let Tegan wrestle. You had Mia and Candace extend their, you know, burgeoning feud out. It was just nice to see all of this together and just continuity between things. And when it came to the last two, you had a lot of backstory that you could tell because it's like, yeah, you know, Dakota hurt Tegan.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Tegan won the street fight, you know, Dakota has also been able to one-up her a lot of the time. And so this was Tegan's chance to finally, you know, get that one big, big win over Dakota, especially because Dakota cost her a shot at being number one contender before in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, it's like Honor was kind of satisfied with this and the fact that, like, the last two times they've met, it's sort of been... The matches were good. But I think we all felt a little cheated after they were over because we didn't get the satisfying ending that we really wanted. So this was the satisfying ending that we've been waiting for between the two, where Tegan finally gets her revenge on Dakota.
She didn't have the bonehead moment, which is what happened the last two times these girls were involved with one another. Because you had the cage match when she got pinned in the door because she hesitated.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another time. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The street fight was when Tegan hesitated again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that allowed Raquel Gonzalez to show up.
Yeah, that was Raquel's debut as the henchwoman and put Tegan through the table really poorly, but put her through the table. But yeah, this was finally like Tegan overcame the demon that's been, you know, hanging around her, and she didn't have that stupid error to cost her. She did what she needed to do to pull out the big win.
She hit the Molly Ground into the shiniest wizard.
God, that Molly Ground was beautiful.
She connected straight on with it.
She hit it perfectly. And one thing I do have to say about this women's match, as compared to another place's women's matches, this one was fluid. It wasn't a lot of people standing around waiting for the spot to hit. It was they just flowed, or if something came up, they knew how to cover it. Whereas in other places, there's a lot of standing and making sure it's like, okay, I need to be right here, and then you're going to come here, and then we're going to do this, okay, and then we can move to the next thing.
That shows the signs that, one, they all know each other very, very well, and they know how to take care of each other, and two, this is probably a well-rehearsed
match, at least the big spots, were probably very well rehearsed, where they all got together and they all made sure it was going to look good no matter what. Since this is a big deal for NXT, it's not a pay-per-view per se, but it's a special event for them. So it's like you want to make sure you put your best foot forward, because the women really, number one, carried at least this first half of the Great American Bash, because this was not the only women's match of the night. But the women have really helped to carry this show, but also the women have been kind of carrying WWE in general. If you notice lately, they've been all over the product. So you want to make sure, especially since you're the opening contest on this show, that you make sure it is absolutely as perfect as you can get it. And I feel like they did that here in this match.
Yeah, and what we're seeing right now is a full kind of second renaissance of women in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
We had the first group, which was the Four Horsewomen, and, you know, they played heavily, and, you know, you had Paige as well. You had that first crop that really ran that part of NXT, and then they all got moved over to, you know, Raw and SmackDown, and, you know, there was a lull, and we were like, what do we do now? And then it was, you know, Asuka came along and had her long run, and you had Shayna with her long run, but you started to see people coming up and developing through, you know, Tegan and Dakota and Candice. And you have someone like Mia, who came in from outside, from the other, you know, from the independents, where she's had a long career and has been able to help supplant some of the missing talent. And yeah, it's created a nice resurgence. And then you've got people, you know, Io holding the title, and then you've got Rhea, who's just, you know, young, but is just light years ahead of probably where she should be.
Yeah, Rhea's spectacular. Absolutely. We're going to talk about her in a minute, but yeah. It's because they found their groove again. Like you said, the women's division took such a hit over the years because they lost so many people very, very quickly. And they brought people like Mia and Candice and Tegan and Dakota in. But they were just trying to find their footing initially, and then some people got hurt, some people, you know, so it's like they were trying to figure all this out, right, and figure out who they were going to make next in terms of the women's division, because there was such a void there. And Shayna kind of picked up that baton a little bit, and Shayna carried that baton for a really long time. She held that division, and she carried that division through until people were able to get up to speed and get comfortable and get to where we are now. So a lot of this is credit to Shayna Baszler, because she was the one that sort of held division steady while everybody got going. And then we got this last night, which was just, again, this was just amazing to watch. Because it was just beautiful. Like, I'm not biggest fan of, like, four ways and multi-man matches, but when they're good, they're really good.
And I mean, you had those moments where it was like, okay, we've got this one-on-one and the other two kind of fade, you know, outside the ring. But there were a lot of spots yesterday where all three or all four people were going at it at the same time. Because, you know, like someone would be sitting there, I think someone was trying to do a superplex, and then all of a sudden Dakota came out of nowhere with her running boot. And you just had a lot of interaction there and everyone playing off of one another instead of just that static, okay, these two guys are going to fight. All right, one of them's going to get dumped outside. Now the next two are going to fight. It was a nice flow that they created. And I think credit goes to, you know, Amato and Michaels and Triple H for trusting the girls to be able to carry a match like this and putting something together.
Agreed. Yeah, so golf clap, but in the end, Tegan Nox is your winner.
Tegan, boo!
I believe she gets Io Shirai. I think that's what this was, or it's implied that she's going to get Io.
It was a number one contendership match.
And the question is she going to have to fight somebody else to get her number one contendership back, or are they just going to let her keep it?
I don't know. I told Rock, so she won number one contendership, so does that mean that she doesn't get to face her until, like, Survivor Series and three other people get shots before her?
I don't know. We'll have to see. So, what's next?
You had Damian Priest cutting off Mackenzie Mitchell, and basically says next week he's challenging Cameron Grimes to a one-on-one match. No tricks. No games. But it was Timothy Thatcher and Oney Lorcan in a hard-hitting bout.
Oh, God.
I'm seriously surprised nobody lost teeth.
For people who love old school, like, chain wrestling, strong style stuff, this was your match.
Yeah, it was good. It was enjoyable. It was hard hitting. It was MMA-ish. pure wrestling-ish.
I think one of my favorite things about this match was Oney Lorcan is just on Twitter, like, screaming at William Regal, I want Timothy Thatcher. And Regal was finally like, sure, whatever, here you go, have him, enjoy.
Go for it, sure. But I just like that it was, you know, we've seen the past 2 or 3 weeks the buildup of Thatcher with, was it Thatch as Thatch Can Wrestling?
Something like that, yeah.
Where he's slowly manipulating these poor, poor souls and just, you know, stretching them old Stu Hart style. That's Hart. Right, we're on this network, we have to mention a Hart.
That was a humdinger of a Hart reference.
Brock, don't be mean. Good lord.
But it was just, it was really cool to see these guys, you know, going at it, you know, submission style, hard hitting. And, you know, there's a difference between slow wrestling and deliberate wrestling. And this was deliberate. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, Randy Orton chin lock.
No, it wasn't boring wrestling. It was hard hitting wrestling.
It was as close to realistic looking as you can get without it actually being real. Like, it was, you're like, okay, all right, you can let him go. I think you're actually hurting him. Let him go. Timothy, Oney, boys.
It was Kurt Angle, Daniel Pewter is what this was, except...
No, this was, you've got your little brother in the living room on a Saturday morning and you're messing him up and your mom is screaming at you to stop. That's what this was. Or your little sister, depending on your living situation, your sibling, basically. You've got your younger sibling, you're wrestling in the living room or you're fighting or whatever, and you've got him down on the floor, pinning him down, doing something to them, and your mom's screaming at you. That's what that was.
So in the end, Timothy Thatcher got the win.
I'm going to throw this out there. After seeing this, Timothy Thatcher and Drew Gulak.
Oh, God. Or picture him and, you know, Daniel is just sitting there like, I want that man.
And as soon as it's safe for Daniel to come out and play, he'll probably get him. But Daniel's not coming out to play anytime soon. So, yeah.
The one thing I thought was funny at the very end was, so they're getting to the finish. And I want to say Oney Lorcan, like, fish hooks him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thatcher is just like, oh, that's cute. Goes right into the armbar and is like, nope, you're going to tap.
You're done.
But I just like, it's one of those things, you know, in that move, like you said, the Saturday morning thing, the one thing that you can do that you know is probably going to try and hurt the other person is like, yeah, go for the eyes, go for the mouth or nose, and just like, just grab and pull. But Thatcher's just like, yeah, no.
And for Lindsay, Timothy Thatcher and Drew Gulak probably have fought in a vow, so that'll be coming eventually to the WWE Network.
Well, I mean, you know, they could fight again.
They could.
It's not a one-time thing.
I'm just saying it. Just saying.
I know, but I'm just saying here that they could totally fight again. It would be completely fine. Like, please.
One day.
I do like how they're making, though, Timothy Thatcher like this. Like, I like how they're doing that, where it's just like, yeah, he just messes people up. It's a thing.
Speaking of messing people up, we had a Karrion Kross video package.
Hi, Murder Mom.
he gonna kill someone, and his fiance is hot.
I think that's all the analysis you need on that.
By the way...
I'm so glad they're here now.
By the way, Karrion and Scarlett put out a picture with Shotzi, and I'm like, I didn't know I needed this group until right now, but I need this in my life. I mean, shit, it's Murder Mom and Dad and their adopted green-haired daughter. I mean, what the hell is wrong with this? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with this at all. Do it. Somebody do it, please.
Well, man, one would assume that was the direction they're going. Anyway.
We're not talking about the spoiler that got dropped. By the way, the person that dropped that spoiler, yeah. Please don't do that again.
They went to Papa Hunter's office immediately.
Yeah.
Although.
Yeah, don't be posting stuff out on your Instagram, y'all.
Although I told Rock I have a theory on that, but we'll see.
Okay, you'll have to tell us after. Tell me yes. After we're off the air.
I will tell you later.
It is Rhea Ripley. Taking on Aaliyah and Robert Stone in an intergender match, and if Rhea Ripley lost, she would have to join the Robert Stone brand.
Okay, so can we just talk about how monumental this was? And the fact that WWE just really casually threw out in a straight up intergender match. None of this like mixed tag BS or anything like that. No, it was a chick taking on two people and one of them happened to be a dude. Like, can we just talk about that and how they did that?
It was interesting. They didn't have the typical rule. You couldn't do it because there's not.
Yeah, Rhea doesn't have a partner, so there's no choice. She has to fight Robert Stone.
And it wasn't a girl fighting a dude. It was a girl fighting a bro.
Oh my god! Can we just say I love how he came down to the ring. For everyone, Robert Stone used to be Robbie E in Impact. Surprise, I know.
I still can't believe he got the hair gel out of his hair.
But I love the fact that it's like we've seen him wrestle there, and then he did the Joseph Park thing where for this match he's purposefully playing a bad wrestler.
It was so good.
And it just shows you like he has to be good to be able to pull off that bad. It's one of those things like when you have someone who's a singer but can really do well singing poorly. You know that they can hit all the right notes. But I love he comes down in fucking boxing gear with the goggles.
Yeah.
And Rhea's just looking at him like, are you serious? I have to beat that.
Rhea's like, fine.
Fine, just whatever.
Like, just get in here. Let me kick your ass.
This was very entertaining. It's just very entertaining. The double submission in the end was great.
Oh, that was fantastic. She just looked like a beast. Like, she did. She looked like an absolute beast.
Because she is.
And as dominant as she was in the match, I think they did a good job, like, giving Aaliyah spots of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Robert Stone was just inept. Like, when he went for the cross body block and she just stepped over and watched him face plant on the outside. She's like, all right. But then Aaliyah would come out of nowhere and, like, jump on her back to try and turn the tide. And it showed that, you know, she's a capable wrestler and everything, but it was just the fact that it also highlights that Rhea is just a beast. And no more evident spot than that when she did the, I believe it's called the prison break? Her finish is named now. But when she did it on both people, one on each arm, and it's just one of those things like, I saw that and I'm going, hell, you have guys, you know, on Raw that would not be able to pull that off. And yet she's doing that what looks to be fairly easily on this show.
Yeah. Rhea's amazing. I love her so much. Like, I love the new character that she's been doing and just everything that they've got going on with her. And the fact that she is so dominant, like, she's just that dominant character in the women's division where she has an interest in the title, but she doesn't really need the title. Like, if she gets it, fine. If she doesn't get it, fine. You know, she's just out there messing people up. Like, she's not defined by anything else. And I really love that about her. And again, the fact that they just threw her in there with the guys. No questions asked. No BS. No nothing. Just, by the way, here's Robert Stone. Enjoy. Was really epic to me. Because it's like, normally when they're going to do something intergender, they try to be like, oh, well, you know, the guys can't touch the girls and vice versa. Or they come up with other rules. And I understand why they do that. Like, I'm not saying it's bad that they do that. But the fact that it's been forever since we've really had a true intergender match in WWE. Like, a pure true one, was really just monumental to me in a lot of ways. That they did it.
And I think in that sense, you have to have the right person to be able to pull it off. Mm-hmm. When we saw WrestleMania a couple of years ago and Ronda got in the ring with Triple H, you weren't thinking necessarily, oh God, Triple H is going to hurt her. You saw that and you were like, oh, Ronda's going to fuck him up.
That was
and
Hunter.
She did.
That was Hunter fulfilling a personal fantasy. I still maintain that. Like, I'm not getting around anything else. That was Hunter just, like, enjoying his inner kinks for a second.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it takes a certain kind of, like, mentality, I would say. Not body type, but just that, like, kind of fighter spirit that to be able to pull that off. Someone like Becky could do that with the right person. Someone like Ronda or Rhea could step in the ring and you're just like, oh yeah, they're gonna screw up, you know, at least half the roster if they got in the ring with them.
I'm surprised they haven't. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say the one thing I was disappointed about was that we didn't get to see what would happen if Rhea joined the Robert Stone brand.
I feel like
that would have been weeks of just gold.
I feel like that's coming, though. Like, I don't know why, but I feel like at some point, Robert Stone is going to get Rhea Ripley. One way or another, like, he's going to have to outsmart her. Because he can't physically beat her, but he can outsmart her. Not to say that Rhea's stupid, but, you know, that's kind of the one advantage that Robert has against her. But either way, I don't really care, because Robert Stone and Rhea Ripley, there's magic there. There's absolute magic there, and I don't know why, but I love it, and I want more of it. It's like, oh, Robert, you found yourself a friend. Because I think Rhea, like, the way that they play it, at least, sincerely enjoys, like, just messing him up. She's like, oh, you're my friend that I can beat up. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, like, have you ever seen Ready to Rumble?
Who hasn't?
Well, I don't know. It's at this point, a semi-classic movie, given when it was released. But, like, by the way, if you've never seen it, it is a trash wrestling movie. You should go watch it.
It's available on HBO Max right now.
It's available on HBO Max right now.
Oh,
anyway,
my God, it's on HBO Max.
Yes. But anyway, I feel like with Rhea and Robert, it's Sal Bendini, you want to wrestle?
Pretty much. That is a thing. All right, moving on. So me and Lindsay had two different opinions on this match. It was Dexter Lumis versus Roderick Strong. I went, wow, this match is going longer than I thought, Lindsay.
This was not nearly as kinky as I felt it should be.
Yep, that was the legit how we were talking about the match last night.
It's Dexter Lumis in a strap. What do you want from me? The man is a stalker. Like, a straight-up stalker. They make no bones about it. He kidnaps people for funsies. You put him in a strap match with Roderick Strong. Oops. What do you think is going to happen? Like, I didn't even know what to expect. I was just like, you're putting probably the kinkiest person you have, legit, against Roderick Strong. Like, this was not nearly as much as I thought it should be. Like, I felt like there should be way more weapons and pain and aftercare. And it just wasn't there.
Shout out to the crowd for chanting Dexter likes it.
That was good.
Roderick Strong looked like from the second he walked out, he was regretting life choices and was trying to figure out what Lumis's safe word was.
Kinda.
It was Worcestershire, but he couldn't say it, right?
Worcestershire?
Worcester! Damn it!
Worcester. Bobby Fish tried to help. It did not work out for Mr. Strong. Dexter got the win.
I like the callback. So, as Lindsay brought up, there are two cars on either... There's one car on either side of the entrance ramp. During the match, they end up fighting back up the entrance ramp. And Dexter goes and opens one of the trunks, and you just see the look on Roddy's face of like, no, God, not again. Not again.
Nope, 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 nope.
And the entire time, Beth Phoenix is making the, like, the awful references of, I think he set the 400-meter dash record running from the car before.
I think he did. Okay, so here's my one qualm with the setup for this, right? Is they do the thing with the therapy sessions with Undisputed Era, and they're encouraging Roddy to get in the trunk of the car, right? They're encouraging him to do that. By the way, I think I actually know where they shot that in downtown Orlando, too. I think I actually honestly do, because anyway, my office has a place down there, and I think I know exactly where they shot it. Anyway, so they're having Roddy get in and out of the trunk, right? I feel like there was a missed opportunity for them to shut the trunk of the car when Roddy gets in it, and they're all cheering, and they're like, yay, go, Roddy, go, yay! And the car takes off. And Dexter's in the front seat, driving away with Roderick Strong.
Just see Cole look at him like, oh my God, what did we do?
And you just have Undisputed Era chasing the car with Dexter Lumis. And this is going to continue. I know this is going to continue. This is not the last encounter between Dexter and Roderick. And this is probably going to get way more kinky, seeing as the first encounter is a strap match. But, like, holy crap, I wanted this to be, like, way more Like, way, way more than it was. But it was still good. Like, don't get me wrong. It was still good. And Dexter was just spot on. Roddy was spot on. Like, the promo that they did to set this up, where Roddy's, like, meditating because he's so freaked out, was perfect. Like, everything about this was super good. But it was just like, wow, this is, like, way less violent than I thought this would be. Huh. We'll figure.
So, you had Escobar and his group come out. They were talking about Lucha Libre. Drake Maverick came out. He seemed like he was looking for a fight. He had backup in Fandango and Tyler Breeze.
I'm on board for this.
Setting up a 6-man tag match next week.
I'm 100% on board for this.
Also, it will be Mia Yim and Candice LeRae in a street fight next week.
Seriously, on board for that too.
After brawling in the back.
After brawling in the back.
Like you do.
I just like it. It was. Who was the interviewer?
Mackenzie. It was Mackenzie, I think.
Like, Mackenzie just. She's dropping just the usual sports interview afterwards of like, so, Candice, that match didn't go the way you wanted it to. To which everyone always goes, I'm just waiting for the athlete to just be like, you think? But Candice is trying to talk to her. Mia comes out of nowhere, laser, you know, starts beating her down. Though before that, Johnny is playing, you know, the ever happy husband.
So what you're saying is Mia was the shark to Candace's helicopter.
In a way, yes.
If you don't know, get that reference, go to...
It's on
go to Rock's Twitter.
At Wild Talk Radio, it's up there. we had fun. Anyway.
A shark out of nowhere. A shark just like an RKO.
Shark out of nowhere. But then we had our main event. NXT Women's Champion, Io Shirai, in a non-title match, taking on Sasha Banks. This was
with
awesome.
Her dog.
With Bailey. Was it? I think it was Bailey's dog?
No, that's her dog.
Was it Sasha's dog? Okay.
Yeah, the corgi was Sasha's dog. That's Ryu, I think is how you say it.
And they rolled up in a car, like Sasha do.
And Bailey had a Sasha jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I love the callback again to, you know, Sasha rolling up in vehicles for her entrances in NXT.
Yeah.
Nothing beats the Escalade with the bodyguards. Like, nothing.
Oh, when she rolled up full boss?
Yeah, when she rolled up full boss with the bodyguards and everything, it was like, yup. Yup.
This match was really good.
Oh, God. There was one move that we all know Io is effortless.
Mm-hmm.
But when she did the fall away slam into the bridge.
That was nice.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It was one of those, like, I looked at it like, was she supposed to hit a Samoan? And then when she bridged, I was like, oh no, she hit that, and she makes it look good.
I love that we're finally really getting to see what Io is capable of. Like, we've seen it before, but this was Io at her absolute best. This was Sasha at her absolute best. I loved how they did this match. I loved how they told the story. And I loved how they got Bailey involved in this.
But it wasn't too much.
But it wasn't too much. And then I liked that Io had backup. In Asuka,
yeah, so,
who showed up.
So Bailey was distracting Rev with one of the belts, gave Sasha the chance to use the other belt. And then as she's trying to get the other belt, Asuka showed up, spit the mist in Sasha's face, which was great, and allowed Io to eventually hit the moonsault for the win.
Oh, such a beautiful moonsault.
That's so pretty.
And me and Lindsay sat here going, please give us this as a tag match. Please give this as a tag match.
Yes.
I
yes.
need this to be a thing.
Match.
You know, there's supposed to be a takeover before SummerSlam.
Give this to me next week. I don't care. I want this match.
Oh, God. The one thing I do have to say, I love how they used the entire ringside area for this match.
Mm-hmm.
Including the plexiglass, you know, around the ring. And I can't remember if it was Sasha or Io who got, like, powerbombed into it. But,
Io,
oh,
I think,
shit.
I think Io powerbombed Sasha into it. As I recall, or it was Sasha, because I was sitting here. I was like, that's not sanitary. They're going to have to clean that now.
But yet there was just this match. Again, it was so fluid. Sasha being able to hit the Meteora. Io with the running knees. It's just all of it together. And just, it worked so well, and I think they finally found something that works for Io in general. She's not a heel. She's not that smiley, you know, bubblegum face like they tried to do with, like, Alexa and some other people in NXT. they gave her a bit of edge like they did Becky on Raw, and I think it just works.
And her natural personality shines through.
Yeah, she gets to be a bit edgy, but then she also gets that chance where she can smile. But you're wondering, is it a little sinister?
Yeah, it's like, what's she up to? But yeah, this was so good. This was worthy of being the main event on either night or of a full pay-per-view. Because the flip side of this is that we got to see Sasha be Sasha. And it's been so long since we've gotten to see Sasha be just like at her absolute best in a solo type situation. Because you kind of forget how good Sasha is sometimes until you see a match like this, and then you're like, right, forgot about that.
And I think the thing that typified the fact that we got the true Sasha was when she had Io in the Tree of Woe, and she's just slapping her saying, I made NXT. You're where I'm from, essentially. And it was just like, oh, where have you been?
Yeah, it's like, you see this? I built this. It's like Charlotte coming back. I made here. All of this is because of me. All of this is because of Sasha, because of Bailey, because of everybody else that came before you. This was my home. I made this. And then they took me away from my home and made me go to the main roster. But still. Yeah, LeMans, the one thing was the mist getting spit in somebody's face amidst a pandemic. It was like, it's not entirely sanitary, but I'm sure it was safe. I would hope it was safe.
Yeah, I hope it was very safe. Also, at least they're not bleeding.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They've been tested. They're in the environment. Contrary to what other people may say, you know, they're doing right by the people, and they're making sure everyone's healthy that is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the Great American Bash. What did we
part
have part one? How did we do?
So, Rock, you went 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I went 3 and 2.
Eh.
And Lindsay went 4 and 1 because she just couldn't decide who she wanted for the. You know, Candace was a great pick for the women's number one contendership. It just didn't work out that way. But everything else was just roses for Lindsay.
Aha!
All right, let's quickly go through part two. Do you have the card?
Okay, but before I stipulate this, or before we do this, let me stipulate this. Do we want to pick the main event because we know the finish to the main event?
No, we're not picking the main event.
I was going to say, we can discuss the match if we want to, but not...
Okay, so I'm going to discuss it now. What should have happened was... Karrion Kross coming out and causing a situation where neither man walked out double champion. That's what should have happened. That's what seemed like it was going to happen. Hell, they're still taping. They could change it. But
I was gonna say, especially since the spoiler got out there, they could reshoot
they
it.
They could reshoot it.
Well, it could be one of those things where this gets leaked, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they do a second finish.
There is a wrestler out there who was apparently at the tape, and oh, there's two endings. You're just trying to help your body.
Well, I mean, there could be, because I think for WrestleMania, didn't they shoot two endings for some of the matches to make sure that, like...
Nope.
Nope? Okay.
Nope. All right. Who has the card? Brent, you have the card?
I have one, but it only has three matches, but there's also there's a fourth match that I know of.
All right, just go.
Oh, no, wait. It just forgot two of them. Never mind. Okay, so we're going to go with Johnny Gargano versus Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Johnny.
I'm going to say Johnny.
I think it's a clean sweep. I think Swerve is going to provide a good contest for him. I think Johnny's going to make him look good as well. But I really think you need to give Gargano a win here.
Yeah,
especially
Johnny
since he helped put Keith over at In Your House. Okay, your next match is Mercedes Martinez versus ..
Mercedes Martinez.
You know, they announced she was going to have a match. They didn't say who against, and I don't really think it matters. Mercedes is getting her promos. She's here. All right. Now, Mia Yim versus Candice LeRae in a street fight.
Oh, God. I don't know who to pick.
I know who I'm going with.
I'm going Candace.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was eliminated first this week. Mia's there. I think there's going to be some shenanigans. We may see Mr. LeRae come down to the ring. but I think ultimately Candace is going to pull it out.
Well, I feel like Candace needs a win.
She does need a win. This will be her win.
She hasn't really gotten much since she turned.
No, so it's like, that's why I kind of picked her for the four-way, is like, Candace needs a win. She needs a big win to help really establish the character, because she hasn't had that yet, and they've been able to, like, kind of fix that with promos and everything, but if she keeps losing, it's going to be it's almost to a point now where it's like, you're not going to take her too seriously, because, like, yeah, okay, all right, you're here to change things, sure, yeah, you're going to lose again. So I feel like she needs to pull out a really big win to be able to reestablish herself.
All right, next.
Your six-man tag, we have El Legado de Fantasma, which is Santos Escobar, Joaquin Wilde, and Raul Mendoza versus Breezango, and everyone's favorite new NXT signing, Drake Maverick.
Team Lucha.
Yeah, I think you've got Breezango there just to help even it out. I think one of them is going to eat the pin. You can still have Drake and Escobar fight again. But
this is all about establishing Escobar's group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Escobar's group, but I think it will be a highly competitive match. I don't think it's going to be a squash match, and I think Breezango and Drake are going to come back for more, or at the very least, Drake will come back for more.
Okay. And your main event of night two of the Great American Bash, Keith Lee versus Adam Cole, winner take all.
As we talked about, what should happen is a non-finish with Karrion Kross laying out both men. Neither man can walk out double champion.
The one thing I like about the build for this match is that they've hyped them both up, showing all of their accomplishments. It's, you know, Cole, we all know about Cole. Over a year holding the belt, he's run through every challenger he's had. He's had the Undisputed Era with him. But I like that they've elevated Keith to that point where it's like, he's on the same level. Look at his dominance that he's had throughout NXT. It's not just one of those, like, okay, next man up challengers. It's, no, he's legit.
So that's the picks for night two of the Great American Bash.
Ding.
And that's our show.
That is our show. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
You know, we went 15 minutes on the news. Still normal time. Hey. Anyway, coming up in a few moments will be Fortnite with friends. We're going to try to find Omega and roll around in Fortnite where you can be Captain America. How you become Captain America is use creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag get my partner.
I'm just going to say this, y'all. It's 4th of July here in the United States. I feel like we should celebrate by purchasing America's ass in the Fortnite item shop using creator code ROCKANDSOCK, hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. So do the thing! Be patriotic for your country! Salute Captain America's ass!
Saturday night, we will celebrate our Independence Day! Midnight-ish, superlive.com, greatthangreatdebate.com. Sunday night, they will be alive! 10 p.m. Eastern.
Are we sure?
For WTR Sunday night. Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern on Monday. We'll be back next Thursday night to review part two of the Great American Bash. Direct Radio Show on all social media platforms. You can get the Direct Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. You can follow at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Hey! If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Just do the thing right here and right now. Brent.
Yes?
This is the plug part of the show.
So, if you guys want to, I don't know why you would want to hear more from me, but if you do, you can find me on Fortnite with Friends on Thursdays after the rec and Saturdays before CB Radio. And also, you can hear me on CB Radio, helping out with the Greater Than Great Debate, because I'm a glutton for punishment. And if you want to catch me outside of the network, you can always find my ramblings on Twitter, at Kane Kittens. Tony Khan, why haven't you responded?
I mean, he's right here. You could just give him a shout-out real quick, Tony. I mean, your new BFF, right here. I'm making Vanna White hand gestures at him.
I'm not Chopper. I understand.
He could be your new assistant, Tony. He has intern experience.
Lindsay.
Anyway, you can follow me on most of social medias and on Twitch at LinsWard, LANSWARD. And, well, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So, everybody, we are going to take a quick break. So, go get yourself a snack. Go get yourself something to drink. And, you know, we are going to round up the rest of the squad, which is Omega. And we are going to play some Fortnite after this. So, you know, stick around for that and enjoy. But till then, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.